The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To dedicate a daf, a perik, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Shmuel's Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara discusses the halacha of Nascha Derababa. The halacha is that if a person grabs something from somebody else, and then when the person calls into Bezdin, he says that the reason why I grabbed it is because didi chatvi, because it always belonged to me. The halacha is that if there's eid echad, and certainly if there's two eidim that say that they saw him grabbing it, he wouldn't be believed, even though right now he's the muchzik, he's holding it in his hand. And we have a rule that says, hamayitz mechaver ol v'raya, that if a person wants to win in the din taira, and the other person, his adversary, is the one who has possession of the money, then he has to prove his position in order to win the din taira. So one would have thought that in this case also, since at this point, the person who grabbed it has it in his possession, he's still holding it, and I'm calling him to the entire, and I'm claiming that this thing belonged to me. So we would have thought that it would be incumbent upon me to bring proof to my claim that it doesn't belong to my adversary, to the defendant. And absent such proof, I would not be able to win the entire. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that the halacha is that I would win the din Torah, and Rav Abba took the item away from the person who grabbed it and gave it back to the person from who it was grabbed. And the reason is, Taisus explains in Bava Basra, according to the simple reading of Taisus, Taisus says that the reason why this is true is because the chazaka kol masha tachas yad adam areyu shaloi. When Edom, or even Eid Echad, sees something in a person's hand, the Edom or the Eid Echad have the right to assume that that item belongs to him. And this is an assumption which is the Eid can make with certainty. And therefore, when the Eid says it over to Bezdin, Bezdin believes what the Eid is saying in that case. In the case of two Eidim, Bezdin will certainly believe what they're saying. And so too, likewise, in the case of Eid Echad, where the person is unable to swear to contradict the Eid, the halacha would be that Bezdin would accept the testimony which would tell us with certainty that this item belonged to the person from whom it was grabbed. Although the other person is claiming that the dichatvi that really belongs to me, and the fact that you were holding it bigzelo or for some other reason why you happen to be holding it, but nevertheless it's mine, Bezdin would not believe that, because when we saw the item in Reuven's hand, and we saw that you got it from Reuven through an act of force by taking it away from him against his will, that tells us with certainty that the item belongs to Reuven. We assume with 100% conviction that the item belonged to Reuven. Now, actual tefisa might not be that common nowadays. I'm not sure. Maybe it is. But there is a very interesting application of this halacha. And there's a very big question whether or not to apply this halacha to this case. When a person buys an item using a credit card, and let's say he goes to the store, he sees a nice chveis refrigerator, or he sees a nice air conditioner that he likes, and he buys it with a credit card, then for some reason a dispute arises between him and the seller. And he claims that the seller did something fraudulent during the course of the transaction, or he may claim that the transaction never transpired, and he calls up the credit card company and he disputes the charge. And the credit card company will then, according to their specific agreement between the company and the cardholder, and likewise they have an agreement between themselves and the merchants, they have the ability to force the merchant to return the money. Now, in this case, one can argue that the purchaser, the koina, has done a tfisa, because he forced the seller to return the money to him against the seller's will. The money which had already been in the possession of the seller. And therefore, one could have argued that in such a situation, we would say that it's like Nascha Derababa, because we can prove conclusively that the reason why the money was returned to the purchaser was because he called up the company and complained and disputed the charge. because a record of that exists. We can call the credit card company and find out that that's why they returned the money to him, because of his dispute. So therefore, one could have argued that since Besdin sees, you know, figuratively speaking, since we see that Reuven, the purchaser, went and forced Shimon to give money, that was in Shimon's possession, therefore, Reuven would be considered a typhus, like the person who grabbed the Naska. And therefore, Besdin may say that since the money was in Shimon's hands, we would assume with conviction that that money belonged to him. That he had a rightful claim to that money. And therefore, the halacha would be that Besdin would force Reuven, the purchaser, to return the money to the seller, Shimon. So, one argument against this can be made as follows. That, like we said, by Nasa Dor Baba, I actually grabbed that specific item from the other person's hands. And therefore, one could have said that only in such a case do we apply this halacha of Nasa Dor Baba, where I took something out of his possession and brought it into my possession, and now the dispute is whether or not this thing belongs to me or belongs to him. In that case, the rabbi gave it back. However, in the case of a credit card, like we explained, there are two separate transactions taking place. Whether or not the credit card company is successful in recouping its money from the seller, the credit card company has its own agreement with the purchaser, with the cardholder, saying that if he files a dispute and in the eyes of the credit card company, the dispute has basis, then they will return his money to him. Even if they already took the money out of his account, they'll give him the money back. Even if they have no way of getting back the money from the other fellow. Let's say he went bankrupt, he closed down his accounts, he's gone. Nevertheless, the credit card company is obligated to return the money to the purchaser. So one could have argued that in this case, there's two separate things going on. One thing is that they're giving me my money back. The other thing is that they're taking the money from you, and one thing has nothing to do with the other. So it's not like I got the money directly from you. I took your money and took it over into my hands, and therefore Besdin will make me return that money. No, there's two different things. One thing is that I got my money from the credit card company, and another thing is that the credit card company took money from you. Now, if my dispute was incorrect, then maybe I would be considered a mazik, because I caused the credit card company to take money from you. Maybe I'm a meiser. Or maybe even more than that, maybe I'm not just a meiser or a mazik. One could argue that I would not be liable for such a hezek because it would be considered a grama, a causative damage. Nevertheless, I would be chayiv to pay you because I was nene from your chesaron, because I had to dispute it, and that dispute caused two things to take place. Number one, that you had a loss, you suffered a loss. Number two, that I gained money. So since my gain is a direct result of an action which caused damage to you, one could argue that even without the concept of mazik, I would be obligated to pay you back if I was in the wrong. However, it could be that Besdin wouldn't assume that I'm in the wrong, because we would not be able to apply Nasa Dor Baba, because Nasa Dor Baba would only apply when there's one direct transfer of money from Reuven to Shimon. But in a case where the money that Shimon has is regardless of whether or not Reuven loses his money, in that case one could have argued that the concept of Nasa Dor Baba does not apply. And this, I heard this svara from some Dayanim who will remain unnamed, because this svara is directly contradicted by many Achroinim and Rishonim also. There's a Ktais and a Nesivis in Simon Chav Ches that say clearly that even if Reuven did not take any money from Shimon, he just caused the damage to Shimon, and he claims that he had a right to cause that damage to Shimon because Shimon deserved that damage, because that item didn't belong to Shimon in the first place. In other words, he doesn't take the Nascha from Shimon. He goes into Shimon's property and destroys the Nascha. And he says, the reason why I destroyed the Nascha is because it's my Nascha, you had no right to have it in the first place. Nevertheless, the Achrayim say Mefurish, and it's also clear in Rishonim like that in Baba Kama, that the halacha is that there is a din of Nascha Dor Baba. If so, we would be led to conclude that it's not, that the reason why Rav Abba said his halacha is not because Reuven took an item from Shimon and now Reuven is holding the item that he took from Shimon. Even if Reuven causes a damage to Shimon's item and he claims I had a right to cause that damage because it wasn't really yours, nevertheless we would apply the halacha of Naschad Rav Abba because again, Chazaka kol mashtachas yad adam erei ushaloi. Since Shimon is holding the item in his hand, we assume with certainty that the item belongs to Shimon. And when I try to pursue the argument and say and advance the claim that this item doesn't really belong to Shimon, Bezdin can't believe that because Bezdin assumes with certainty that if Shimon's holding the item, that it certainly is his. So regardless of what I did, whether I stole it or I was mazik and whatever I did to it, if the basis of my claim of why I had a right to do that was because I claimed that the item never belonged to Shimon, Bezdin would not be able to accept that claim because Bezdin assumes with certainty that if the item is in Shimon's hand, that it belongs to him. Another argument can be made why Naschad Rav Abba does not apply, and this I heard from other Dayanim, would be because perhaps Shimon never can really be said to have had the money. Since Reuven has the ability to dispute, it's as though there's a string attached to the money. Normally, when a person is holding money in his hand, he has full control over the money. In this case, however, since we knew originally that Reuven would be able to take the money away from him using this process called disputing, therefore, maybe it would be considered that Bezdin never saw Shimon holding the money. Bezdin saw Shimon holding money that Reuven had partial control over because Reuven had the ability to dispute the claim. This is a very good svara. But I don't think that it's true. Because while it's true that while the money is in Shimon's bank account, Reuven has the ability to dispute the claim, nevertheless, there's nothing really stopping Shimon from closing down all of his bank accounts and taking the money and hiding it under his pillow. So therefore, Reuven doesn't really have the ability to get the money back from Shimon, because Shimon can stop him from doing that. Maybe the bank will pursue Shimon and try to make him give it back, but Shimon can always try to evade the long arm of the bank and maybe run to Switzerland or who knows where. So therefore, we can't really say that Shimon did not have control over the money. However, for another reason, I don't think the Naschad Rav Abba really applies, because I think that since, we spoke about this in a different share, when money is in the hands of a bank, it's not really in your possession at all. A bank is really somebody that you lent money to. When you have a bank account, you don't have money. You're not holding money in your hands. The way we look at it is that the bank is considered to owe you money. And really, it's not so relevant whether or not it's a halva or a pekadin, which is, I don't think there's a really serious tzad that it's a pekadin. However, even if you take the position that money in a bank is a pekadin, nevertheless, at the end of the day, the money is under the control of the bank. It's not under your control. So if you closed down your bank accounts and you took the money out of the bank and you put it under your pillow and then the bank forced you to give it back, perhaps we would be able to apply the concept of Naschad Rav Abba. However, in a case where the money is still in the bank and the reason why Shimon got the money back is because the bank returned the money to Shimon, we can't say that Shimon was taifas the money from Reuven. The way we would look at it is that Shimon handed the money over to a third party and he said, And there's an agreement between all the parties in the situation that if Shimon disputes the claim, then the third party has the right to give the money back to Shimon. So Shimon didn't do a maisik zela in this case. What Shimon did was he asked the third party to return the money to him as per their original agreement. In that case, we would not say cheskes kolma. If Reuven and Shimon, for whatever reason, put money into the hands of a third party and they tell that third party, okay, If such and such happens, if Shimon comes and tells you that the money really belongs to him and Reuven doesn't have a good answer to you, give the money back to Shimon. We wouldn't say there's a chazaka that the money belongs to Reuven because Reuven could have taken that money away from the third party before Shimon had a chance to do that. Since at the end of the day, Shimon managed to put in his dispute before Reuven closed down his bank accounts and took his money out, I think we would say that the tfisa is not really a tfisa which the halacha of Naschad Rav Abba would apply to, because it was as per an original agreement which allowed the third party to return the money to Shimon, and therefore we wouldn't really look at Reuven as having a cheskes kolma. Again, if Reuven had the money under his pillow, that would be a different story. If Reuven had taken all his money out of the bank account and had all his money under his pillow and now the bank forces him to give back the money as per their agreement, perhaps that would be different. I don't even know if the bank has the ability or would ever want to do that. It's possible that the bank would just wait until he actually puts money back in the bank regardless and then take that money. If the person never opens up a bank account, I don't know if they would pursue him. If they would, then we would have to decide what the halacha would be in that case. But in the most common case where the money is just taken out of the bank, we can't say that you're taking it out of the other person's pocket because he doesn't really have it in his pocket since it's in the hands of a third party.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.